right, greetings, everybody. Welcome into Better's Last Stand, episode 8, unpacking the week 1 of college football, getting ready for week 1 of pro football this week as you join us here from the Pine Room. Myself and Coach and Luke, we just did a nice high school football show. The studio WKKX was closed today, so we did a little satellite show here. Jubb ran the camera for us, did a little Instagram live show. We're going to put that up somewhere so you can hear all the high school lines talk, hear us talk about Ohio and West Virginia, the Ohio week 4, West Virginia week 3. Got some good games on the docket. Chris will be heading to Lindsley for the big showdown after he checks out his Maroon Knights on Friday night. So we got lots going on here in the Pine Room. First and foremost, just want to tell Coach and Jubb, just thanks for an awesome Saturday up here. It was really, really fun. You'll let us know about the final numbers when you guys get them, but it seems like we had a record attendance count and just all around a good day. The rain held off. It wasn't too unpleasant as far as the humidity goes. We weathered the storm, so to speak, and we didn't have the blistering sunshine. Got a nice cloud cover. It was a pretty good day, Coach.
Yeah, it was a great day actually. We set all time attendance record. I'm sure that might get challenged again this year because more people were finding out about us and more people than the people that come here just want to come back because it's so much fun. And as we say, it's football. But then around 7:30, 8 o'clock, Jubb turns on some music to go along with the football and things kick up. And people, you know, anytime you put music on along with sports, drinking, and good friends and fun, boy, it makes for a fun evening. So we watched a lot of football, had a lot of laughs, and I actually made a little bit of money. I really had a good weekend. So
good.
I'm happy. I woke up this morning happy because I had Florida State last night. I had the first quarter under the total, and you gave me some good tennis picks, and then I went 9-1 in NASCAR matchups.
Jeez, again? I didn't know that. Oh man,
yeah,
I went
9-1 in NASCAR matchups, and football has been good. And but as you say, and Jubb said, there's only one way to go. But I told Jeff Doyle, I said, we're gonna have a good year this year. We're not gonna break the bank. We're not gonna get rich, but we're gonna go to have a couple weekends. We're on the plus side.
Well, that's off to a good start. PRP picks were 14-15, but we actually be ahead a little bit. We had some really nice plus money wins from the group there. I wish I'd have given Eric Jones out as the race winner. I had him as a top 10, but you played him as a race winner, which I did as well, that was a really good one to finish off the night. That Florida State game stayed under somehow. Craziness there. Luke, thoughts about the weekend? I'm sorry about the Irish. You guys gave a valiant effort. You were in the game. Didn't embarrass yourselves at all. So something to be proud of. I know it's not what you wanted, but
yeah, we live off of moral victories, unfortunately. But this is a great great card this week. Utah got beat. Oregon got absolutely slaughtered. And I think Georgia is a team to watch. I think Georgia is the only team right now that could compete with Alabama. I mean, they just got a really good defense. And Stetson Bennett really surprised me. But yeah, just a lot of good games this week. And I'll be interested to see how week 2 and 3 fold out, just to see if these teams follow their week 1 performances to see if they just play the same way. But it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot like Art when we were talking about on the high school show on the Watchdog. About week 3, you start getting an idea of who's who and who's real. Obviously, we know Alabama is a special type team. I mean, they just trounce a pretty decent program in Utah State, just shut them out. They head to Texas this week, and I already said I really, really like Bama right now. I'd be jumping on that before it gets to over 3 touchdowns. Nothing against Texas. I just don't see any way that you stop this freight train right now. And I agree. Georgia, to me, was the most impressive team visually that I saw this weekend. They were outstanding against Oregon. And, again, Oregon, not a bad program. I mean, they have leftovers from a good, successful coach in Cristobal. It was a good one. Coach, you gave us that one weeks ago, Georgia.
I gave that when we were doing the Pac-12.
That was our very first show.
Yeah, I gave that as a heavy, heavy play. I just love Georgia. I really did. Now, I did have a couple of tough, not beats, but bet them at the wrong time. I bet the Mountaineers early. I think in that line
that
might
hurt.
Come down a little bit. Instead, it went up, and I got it at 6.5, and it ended up going off at 7.5. So the hook hurt me, and the hook helped –
Yeah, and help champ. He cashed a big $50 ticket on the Mountie, so good job to him. He's still rolling in baseball a little bit, although he had a tough day yesterday, I think.
So I had some line movements that hurt me, but that, you know, that's the way it goes. Sometimes they move with you. Sometimes, but I've gotten some breaks and had to like I said, I had a good weekend and really looking forward to this and that. And one good thing I like this week as opposed to last week, there's only two games that are played before Saturday. Right. Like last week, there were probably 20 games.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I mean, just looking at this card from last week right there, I mean, there's over a dozen games plus the added games.
Yeah, probably
28 games in Thursday and Friday.
And not that I don't like football every night, but I just like more set. I like the – there were only five – well, I don't want to say five bettable games, but five – regular
games. Regular card games.
Yep. You could get like four more on added games. But I like that that packed slate at noon and packed slate at 3:30 the whole way. So anyway, we're back to normal. There's only a couple Friday games this week.
Plus Fridays for high school sports now for us.
Right, exactly.
High school games. Those of you who haven't checked us out yet on the Watchdog, check us out down there 2:00 to 3:00 every Monday, except for this one. Like I said, we did that Instagram show with Jubb today. We do high school lines. We make the lines on all the local high school games. It's pretty fun. We've had a lot of good feedback on it, and it's something we've enjoyed doing. So be sure and check us out there. Also check us out all over social media at the Pine Room Podcast. Contact at thepinerumpodcast.com. If you want to email us, please feel free. Send your questions in. If you had any observations from week one, anything you think you would like to see us talk more about or change about the show, we'd love to hear from you. So check us out there. Check out our shop, thepineroomshop.com. Be sure and get all your Pine Room gear if you ever make it up to the Pine Room this year, which the attendance figures are getting higher each week. So I'm about to start setting a middle line on the total people each week.
Yeah, and we're going to have to get more food. I mean, we try to keep food out all day, but, boy, when you think it's a ton of food, and then all of a sudden at 3:30, you're looking, the stuff's starting to get low. Guys just get hungry throughout the day, and, you know, when you're drinking, you eat more, and when you're betting, you eat more.
And I must say, thanks to Greek, Johnny Chocolates, the chicken's out of this world, and the Coolies for providing all the great side dishes from Hangover. Great stuff. Those peppers you stuffed from my garden, Coach, well done on those. They were blazing hot. Jubb, did you end up eating any of those?
Yeah, I had one of them late in the night, and it
kicked a little bit.
Yeah.
And what, Jubb, what was your rating on Greek's chicken?
I didn't have it.
Oh, you didn't try it at all?
I never got a piece. By the time I got around to it, it looked like a carcass in
Champ
there.
Champ ate about eight birds himself.
Yeah.
He had a piece of it every 5 minutes.
We should have had a little bit. And if you didn't know, we started a new tradition here in the Pine Room before the noon games every week. Now Champ does a beautiful rendition of the national anthem. If you've never heard it, it's one of a kind. You think Whitney Houston's good, you got to hear Champ. I mean,
bring a tear to your eye.
Yeah, we all get teary eyed. We keep tissues around because he's very animated. He does it well. He does add a couple words in there, extra words in the anthem. I'm not sure he has the official version or
the bombs. They weren't the bombs bursting air. The bombs are bursting in the air.
See, and he rewrote Francis Scott Key's original version.
Right,
so.
And it's like
Champ's remix.
His hand motions are just when the flags are waving.
Perfect.
It's that's what really tugs at your heartstrings.
If anybody wants to see that, that's up on our Instagram. You can go watch him sing the first national.
I had a lot of people telling me about they saw that. They thought it was hilarious.
You know what else you got to start setting a line on?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. That anthem singing wore him out. His nap total went over
sure.
I think it was up towards nine.
I know seven is the last I saw, but his naps have increased a little bit. I don't know if it's because of his age or...
He was up early. He's at late night
lifestyle. Well, that's true. He had a big morning.
He was on time. He got Scotty brought him up. Thanks to Scotty for being his chauffeur and the new commander at the Warwood Vets. So congrats to him.
Yes.
He's been a real good supporter of ours, and we just love him. He's done a great job. So anyway,
we had our first battle wound of the of.
Oh
the
yeah,
season.
Geez, Luke, tell us about that. You had an intruder at your house during the Notre Dame game. What went on there?
Yeah, so the doorbell started ringing, and then I went to the door, and then my dogs were out because they're usually in the crate.
At this point, were you guys ahead in the game?
7-3,
10-7,
or 10-7. That's it. Yeah, 10-7.
And then he came in, and then the dogs started going like crazy. Then he was like standing there trying to move.
This was Mark you're talking about.
Yes,
Coach,
Mark.
Right
they wouldn't let him move, and He goes, someone bit me, and there's like blood gushing down his leg. And my dad started flipping out the dogs and screaming at him and stuff. And then
I went through probably about 10 paper towels.
Yeah, 10 paper towels. And then we're going crazy watching the game. We're holding Mark's leg, trying to stop the blood.
Yeah, I was bleeding. These guys are running around. If you want to watch something, we may have to film that job. The Doyles watching a Notre Dame game. It's a sight.
I said you should have had a GoPro. You should have sent a GoPro
If I'd have had that, I would have been unbelievable.
The dog incident. Hey, Luke, what'd your mom think? Did she come home and wonder why all the bloody towels were in the trash can?
No, she won't let any of them out now. They're always in the crate when people are in the house. Yes.
Oh boy. Yeah. You started a new trend, Coach.
I said we should have got rid of them. But
well, in their defense, a little bit. I came in there. First of all, I'd had a lot of beer. And they just took the lead, and I knew what you were going to be like, and you're screaming and yelling, and I started screaming and yelling. The dogs probably thought I was trying to break in or do something to you, and they were just protecting you. So
I mean, this blood was gushing out for like minutes.
I was definitely losing blood at a profuse pace.
You know, it's funny, because I came over there a little later, and I said. And I came over and I was helping with the blood, and we put Band-Aids on him.
You probably thought I got hit by a car.
No, well, nobody knew where you went. But anyway, you went over there and you were getting, you know, fixed up, and then we walked back over here, and the next morning I come downstairs and you go, hey, you know I got bit last night.
I didn't remember he was there.
Jubb, you had to help him across the road, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
The best part about it is Jubb just rolls in and Mark's laying down on the couch and my dad's holding napkins up against his leg to stop the blood, and Jubb's like, what's going on?
That had to be a weird sight.
I wonder if you could have guessed that, Jubb. I think I got blood on your carpet too.
It's not a big deal.
The battle wounds of betting, as Bettors Last Stand reminds you, every day could be your last.
We'll talk about that one for quite a while. It was okay. I'm on the mend. I still have the bandages on. I don't think I'll need a transfusion. I think I'm going to be fine.
Well, that's good. At least
he's recovered.
And your wallet did all right this week.
So and Notre Dame covered. I wish they would have won for you, but they covered and did very, very well for me. So anyway, that puts a cap on it. We had a ball, had a great time. We played some bocce. As you said, the weather cooperated. Some people that had never been here before came and just were mesmerized at what a cool place it is, just to hang out with some friends, watch football, drink some beer, and there's no, if you come here and don't have fun, then
it's on you.
you must be weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Recapping the rundown, the favorites went 26-18-1 on the main card games against the spread. I figured those numbers up just with closing line. So, again, when Mark mentioned about the West Virginia game, that's obviously a key thing to remember. When you're doing your wagering, you want to try to get on the right side of that closing line value, but it doesn't always mean you're going to come out on the right side.
Right.
So you definitely want to get the best of the number. A lot of times that will help you when those games are right around the number. Not a fail-safe, not a guarantee, but find the best number, in an instance like that. Monitor, check out those sites that I mentioned a couple shows ago, Wager Talk. Look on there, see where that money's going, see what books are moving it. If you start seeing it moving in another a book that you're not a member of or whatever, that can be an indication that it may move at your book. So be ahead of that and try to get your best number locked in. Total wise on the weekend, we had 24 unders and 21 overs. Pretty balanced. They went runs. I think every game on Friday night was an under game. So that was it goes in waves. The noon games had a lot of unders. I needed Maryland early. That one hurt me a lot. It was one of my better plays of the week. I think I did all right. The games that I kind of gave you guys on here that were my best bets, Texas San Antonio came through for us overtime. They got beat by two, but covered that four. I had Florida plus the points in that game. I think I ended up getting three. 2.5 also is out there a lot, but if you could have got the three, you definitely wanted to do that. Let's see. What was another one? Oh, Liberty. We had Liberty. That one wasn't any good, I don't think. Where was it?
Yeah, 29-27.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Won.
Yeah, it was.
They were getting three.
That's right. I thought that was it. I wrote the wrong score down. And then Oregon State, team that I'm really high on. Really, really like them a lot. They are very impressive against Boise.
They blacked Boise.
And they got a tough game this week, I think, Oregon State. They play somebody.
I was just looking at that.
Is it BYU? No.
Yes, it is BYU.
Is it BYU?
That should be a great game. I'm going to be keeping a good eye on that. I think that's a really. No, actually, it's not. It's Fresno. Fresno. They play Baylor this week.
Yeah, BYU.
They were next to each other on the card. Definitely liking Oregon State early in that game.
That's Lorna Better's team, right?
Yeah, Fresno. Yeah. She's Fresno all the way. Yeah.
And my Bruins came through for me. That was a little shaky early, but they end up winning, end up covering. But some of the surprises to me the weekend, a couple of the games that were surprising to me was how bad Louisville got beat by Syracuse.
Yeah.
I that was a stunner.
That one hurt me. I had over in that one.
I
love that over.
For Syracuse
scores 31.
31 and not go over the total. Louisville scores 7 points. That was one that shocked me. I was really surprised at the way that turned out. Louisville, I thought they would be much better than that. The North Carolina App State game, if you saw that game,
craziness,
that was a fun game to watch. We had App State in that game, and early. Now there's another one, Matt. Early in the week, App State was catching points.
Total reversal.
I think they were minus 2.5 by the time.
They actually went off at 3 at some spots. Okay, I mean, great. That got up to, I mean, it was 2.5 and 3 at several places when that game kicked off.
And some really crazy things happened in that game. I mean, they were up 21-7, and then North Carolina scored 35 unanswered points, and it looked like there was no chance App State was going to have a chance in that game. And then they came right, rallied.
Luke, how many points in the fourth quarter did they have?
Oh, it's all
40.
Yeah, it was a record, points, wasn't it? Yeah. I think it was a record.
There were 62 in the fourth quarter combined.
Yes, and just so many weird things happened that kept us alive to cover that spread.
Amazing stuff, depending on what you got the number. Also,
unbelievable.
What about North Carolina guy? If he just doesn't run that kickback on
onside kick,
the game would have just ended. They could have just knelt on
it.
The game was over.
Yes.
But him doing that actually almost made his team be vulnerable. And they could have got beat.
Did you see the front guys for App State in that onside kick?
They absolutely got killed. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I saw that.
They took that out of the NFL. You can't even do that anymore.
Yeah, that was devastating.
Yeah, that was a really exciting game. One game I thought was an interesting one. The line in this game, Nevada Texas State, just kept moving and moving towards Texas State, and Nevada whacked them pretty good. I guess no matter how bad you think Nevada is, there's always teams that are worse than them out there. So keep an eye on that. Don't have that knee jerk reaction after week one. People are so high or so low on these teams. You want to tread lightly. I mean, the good teams, Alabama and those teams, Georgia, the impressive victories that they have each week, you can kind of tell they're going to be good from the beginning. But don't get too high or low on these teams. Don't develop biases. One bias that I have, but I also was a good opinion on, Coach, you shared it too, Friday night game, Virginia Tech, just a disaster.
Look,
it was special teams.
I
just remember how many times their special teams won them games. Frank Beamer was there. And
yes.
they're a really embarrassing team. And losing again to Old Dominion.
You liked ODU a lot.
Yeah. That was a good one. That started the weekend off pretty well. But an hour later, though, I had Illinois and those idiots. They were terrible in that game.
That was,
got some bad breaks in the game. Just ugly performance. But there's a team right there. I should listen to my own advice, because I was high on Illinois after the first week against Wyoming, and they were horrible against Indiana.
And another one that surprised me, and we mentioned this on our show earlier, was Iowa beating South Dakota State 7-3, and like we said before, if you would have
no touchdowns in the game,
not a touchdown, and they said, "Well, how the hell did they get 7? Two safeties and a field goal." But for Iowa to only score 7 points and not a touchdown against maybe South Dakota State's a little better than we think, but when they get into that Big Ten, I mean, I Luke, I think you might have said it. If you're playing Iowa, play that game under all the time.
It's unbelievable, Luke.
They might be the worst team in the Big Ten.
Offensively, I don't know how you can't make a case for that. You know, I heard Iowa actually, and I didn't see this at the time, Iowa had a 4th and inches on South Dakota's, or was it South Dakota State?
Yeah,
South Dakota State's 38-yard line, 4th and inches.
And
they punted.
That's awesome.
Kirk Ferentz is living in the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
He is like Neanderthal frozen caveman when he coaches. I don't know. I know last night, Coach, we debated about the Florida State when they got that turnover and they didn't kick the field goal. Maybe these coaches, some of them have too much faith in their kicking game while others don't. It's bizarre to see these coaching decisions.
I could not. Luke, did you see that last night when Florida State could have went up 10 to, what was the score?
10-3, I think.
They could have went up 10-3 and didn't, and they had 4th and 2, not 4th and inches, 4th and 2, like on the 12-yard line. went for it, and of course they didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I wasn't home to watch the game, but I was like watching highlights and stuff, but I did not see that.
Could not believe they didn't kick a field goal.
It may have had something to do with the fact that kicker kicked the first kick of the season out of bounds.
Oh, Champ was.
And Champ was livid. He was screaming at the television. He had Florida State, of course. Kicked it out of bounds. That's a penalty. Then he missed a field goal. Then his next kickoff, he kicked it out of bounds. Maybe that's why they didn't end up kicking in that situation. I kind of thought about that, and maybe the coach had a reason not to send him out there. But the kicking game in college is just a mess. There's probably only a handful of good kickers. If you have a good kicker, it's a really valuable weapon. If you don't, it can really be problematic. And we saw a lot of blunders. We saw East Carolina miss a point to lose a game that they should have had a chance to win.
Two.
And then last night, And then last night with LSU as well. Just debacles in special teams. You got to be sound in the kicking game, like your buddy Corso always said, Coach.
Yep.
A lot of disappointments there for teams, but it's only week one, and we'll see what happens this week. Highlight games from the card coming up this week. Obviously, Alabama and Texas. Nice to see Alabama actually going on the road for a true road game. Luke, you got any early thoughts on that game?
Oh, I love Alabama. I think Texas has a lot of offensive weapons on the offensive side of the ball, but that defense is now, again, I like Alabama big here.
My early thoughts on that game, too. And again, I do think maybe that Texas is on their way to starting to be better, and hopefully they are. But I don't think they're there yet, and I think Alabama may be really, really, really good. I heard a few bookmakers talking the other day in a forum saying that Alabama is the highest-rated, power-rated team they've ever had in college football. So,
oh, really?
Could be scary from that perspective. If you were leaning Alabama, jump on that quick because it's going to go up over 21 really, really fast here. It opened around 17, 16. Now it's up to about 20, 20 and a half as of when I printed this out this morning. So if you want that, you better get on it fast. It's not going to be around for long. Luke, your Irish 20-point home favorites now against Marshall. You feeling pretty confident about that game?
Yeah, I am. Marshall looked good against Norfolk State, but Norfolk State
State.
Yeah, they're not very good, but yeah, I'm very confident in this game. I like us a lot.
Yeah, Coach, you got any thoughts on that Notre Dame Marshall or Bama Texas? Initial thoughts, anything?
I mean, I'm with you guys on Bama. Yeah. I'm still not sold on Texas yet. Even though you say they are going to be better, but Bama just is. They're incredible to watch. They're just a step above them. But them and Georgia now, I think, have separated even above Ohio State at
right,
this point.
Right, I agree. I thought Luke's team did a very good job of slowing Ohio State down, and we'll see how that progresses as the season goes on. There's a lot of bad teams in the Big Ten, so you know that Ohio State's going to put up some fancy scores
massive
and stuff.
Numbers.
But yeah, no, I agree. After week one, the takeaways are, two of the best three teams that you thought of. I'd bump Georgia a little bit ahead of Ohio State after that. But Ohio State did play a pretty good team in Notre Dame, so that should be
I think week two always is more of a gauge on how teams are going to be. Like Tennessee at Pitt, that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Luke, you got any thoughts on that one? Tennessee given 7 at going to Pitt?
Yeah, opened at 4 all the way to 7 now.
So who's
all over
who's favorite?
Tennessee on the road at Pitt.
Yeah. No, I love Pitt. I don't think Tennessee's good at all. I mean, they got an offense, but like I said, that program is a mess.
I'm mixed on this game. I tend to lean to the over here. I do think Tennessee's a little overrated, overhyped, but I do not think Pitt is good at all. I was telling Coach my thoughts of that West Virginia game the other night were two evenly matched, not very good teams, sloppy gameplay. Yes, it was exciting. I agree. It was a good, intriguing matchup rivalry game, but the quality of football wasn't its best. And I would tend to lean to Tennessee here, but that thing going ballooning all the way to 7.
Right.
I'm a little leery. Over would be my play at this point, but we'll keep an eye on the number.
And I want to talk a little bit about the Mountaineers here too, because I don't think either one of those teams are really, really good, but I look at Mountaineers in a very tough situation this week with Kansas coming to town.
Yes.
I really do. They spent a lot of emotion. It was a letdown that they lost the game. You know, they're going to try to get up for a team that's supposedly the doormat of the Big 12, And I think it's a really tough situation for West Virginia. I think Kansas could come in there and give them all they want. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't shock me a bit if Kansas would beat them.
Well, we're seeing some line movement really early on. These were posted last night. Mountaineers opened up 14, and that's down to 12.5 in some spots right now. So, yeah, definitely some Kansas buyback early. I agree with you, Coach. A tricky spot. Tough for Neil Brown. He just can't seem to get any momentum going as a coach.
He really needed, not to save his job, but they needed to beat Pitt.
Right.
They just needed that signature win that they can't ever get. You know, they just can't.
Yep.
They're always there, and there's always some excuse why they can't get a win. What could, if we'd have done this, would it? And I'm not blaming it. It's not Neil Brown's fault, but you know, there's just I don't know what word looking for.
I agree. That signature win is not there.
They just can't get it, and they have the ability to lose to bad teams too, because they'll make mistakes.
Now I do think their offense is a little bit improved from last year.
I thought JT Daniels was
so that could help them. In
I agree with that, but I think this is a real, real tricky spot for West Virginia this week.
Luke, what do you think about that? Jayhawks give them a little trouble down there?
What's the line?
Well, it's 14 right now, but down to 13 and 12.5 some spots.
I like Kansas a lot. I don't think WVU is very good.
Yeah. Now, Kansas seems like they're a little bit on the rise. It's good to see you. Nick got a nice win total bet on Kansas, so you'll be at the Mountaineers' expense. That might get you a win that you weren't expecting.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know if they will, but I still think Kansas will go over that total.
I definitely would say it's possible. Another game that intrigues me this week. Team getting a lot of attention, Florida. The Gators, nice win at home. Not the prettiest game, a very good game as far as entertainment value goes. They hang on, squeak by Utah. Utah, you got to be – and I was down on Utah. I'm just not a believer. I like their coach. I like everything about their program. They don't ever win big games.
Yeah.
And like you were just saying with the Mountaineers, disappointing for Utah in the Pac-12 overall this weekend. Losing that game, Utah was getting a lot of steam to be a playoff team. And now, you know, that's a big setback. Now they could run the table still, so we'll see. Keep an eye on them. I think they'll be very good. But Kentucky is at Florida here. Florida,
I like Kentucky a little bit.
I do, too. That line down to 4.5 now. Florida, like, they're getting a lot of hype. Their quarterback, Anthony
Richardson.
Yes,
he's very, really good.
Very impressive. Great start for them. It's nice to see Florida actually relevant again because they haven't been in a while. But I think this Kentucky team is sneaky good. They're well-coached. They're disciplined. They had a lot of line movement against them last week against Miami, Ohio, and they ended up steamrolling them pretty good. I like the Wildcats here. This is a bet that I'll definitely have this week. As long as it stays above 3.5, I will definitely be taking a piece of that. Luke, what do you think about that game?
Actually, I would probably take Florida here. I think Florida's – I don't know. I think Billy Napier did a great job. Week one game, he got them excited to play. It looked like they were ready to play out there. So, give me Florida.
Yeah, I also kind of would lean to the under in this game. I think that could be a slugfest.
Yeah,
I think both offenses will run the ball. Kentucky is legitimately good on defense. So, I think you could see a low-scoring battle here, but that'll be one we'll be watching here in the Pine Room, I'm sure. I think that's a night game, I think. Well, 6 or 7 o'clock, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think it is.
So that's a pretty good game. Any other games stick out to you guys? USC and Stanford, I think.
Yeah, that's at Stanford. Big measuring stick for USC there to see how good they really are. Obviously, they're going to be very good. Stanford... I don't know. I'd take the points there at home with Stanford. Let's see. What is that line at?
Well, it opened at 10. I believe it might be down to 9 now, at least last I saw.
I think I still had it at 10.
Okay.
I still had it at 10. I'd probably take Stanford getting the points there. Now, if they blow Stanford out, you know, USC, as you said earlier, they're going to be good, obviously, but if they have a big blowout win,
How about the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, Luke? 49 now up to 50.5 Michigan laying on at home. It's at the Big House.
Well, another thing with Michigan is they're playing another quarterback this week.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, they're deciding week 3 what quarterback they want to play. So honestly, I'd probably take Hawaii here just because of that.
Yeah, no, that's tough. I'd probably pass. Boy, 50 seems nice, but I don't know. Michigan, when they get momentum in that Big House, they tend to crush people. Game that I'll be keeping an eye on, too, right now, Virginia Tech -3 at home against Boston College. If I could get 3.5 with the Eagles there, but I'll be jumping all over that. Probably have a little bit of money line on that as well. I think Virginia Tech, they may only win 2 or 3. They're really bad. And I think BC's – a team that's stable. They run the ball well. They defend well. They go on the road. They can stay in games. I like them early here to go to Blacksburg and take care of business. But like I said, I'll keep an eye on that number.
I like that game under the total too. I like that game under 46.5. I had that marked as one of my better plays of the day.
I'd agree with that. This is the last game that I'm looking here on the card just briefly that intrigued me a little bit. Mississippi State at Arizona. Arizona with a nice win last week, surprisingly. Now they're an 8-point dog at home. Right
yeah, Mississippi
now. So,
State.
Yeah, yeah.
I got
actually,
it's 10.
Up to 10.5
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I got it 10.
So a lot of steam on Mississippi State to start out with that one as it was posted last night. I don't know what to make of either one of these teams. Just like we were saying before, Mike Leach, I can't ever get a handle on his teams. I just don't. I've never had luck betting his teams, even when he was at Texas Tech. It's a game that I'm interested in, but I'm really not sure I'll have a strong opinion on.
Yeah.
Probably sit it out and take a wait-and-see approach. Was there any other games that you guys saw that seemed like could be, noteworthy, interesting?
BYU-Baylor.
Okay, yeah, yep, we mentioned that. I forgot about that one. Yep, BYU-Baylor, yeah, that's an interesting one, too. BYU -3 there. I really, really like Baylor. You guys know I was high on them. That was my Pac-12 or Big 12 team that I really, really liked. I thought they had an outside shot of winning the conference. I'll be taking a look at the Bears in that game. BYU with a nice win at South Florida, but South Florida's just horrendous. So not really sure what you can make out of that. Coach, any thoughts on that one?
No, not on that one, but I have one that I'm going to give out to the public here. I want you to play this, folks. Get to the window. Houston at Texas Tech, total 65.5. That's not enough points. That game is running up and down the field at a brisk pace. I like that game over the total. I really like the first half over the total, but I like the game over the total too. So play that and run to the window. Bet that Houston, Texas Tech over the total.
Luke, you got any early best bets? I know we'll give our picks out at the end of the week with our Pine Room picks once we get a little bit better handle on the number. But anything stick out to you that you really, really like early?
Not really, to be honest. I'll have to look more.
Other than Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama for sure. But not really much steam on anything yet. I had a really bad weekend this weekend, so I'll have to.
It's all right, buddy. Yeah. It'll be it's week two almost, so you'll get right back on the horse, so to speak, and get ready to get after it again. My early ones were Bama. I do like Bama a lot there if you can get below the 3 touchdowns. Take a look at Kentucky. I thought anything 3.5 or better there. And then BC the same, 3.5 or better if you can get it. Take a look. Again, Jubb will have the Pine Room picks up every Friday. He does Friday. Yeah. I'm losing track of my days. Yeah Friday. So we'll have all the weekend games covered. Our Pine Room group, everybody gave out. Your dad had a winning parlay, I think, last week, one of his three that he had.
He had Notre Dame and I can't remember.
Somebody else he had a pair. He had Georgia paired with somebody. Georgia-Arkansas, I think he had paired. Yeah. So it was a parlay. I think it was a teaser.
Your dad's gotten off to a good start.
Yeah, but he does them teaser bets. It gets more easy than he does the real ones.
Yeah, but our group did well. Nick, great 10-star on the over in the app in Carolina. Coach, you had a great, great pick with Georgia.
Yeah.
We had some decent ones. A couple tough ones going against us, but not a bad week. We held our own, stayed above water. And even Champ did okay. So it was a pretty successful first week. So as we get ready to head into week two, we're going to talk some NFL here as we head into week one of that. Fantasy on the radar. I know we got some drafts here tonight and tomorrow. It's that time of year, week one NFL. I know Jubb he can't barely sleep. He's so excited about this NFL and the Raiders. And, it's a good time of year, guys.
Is it a big week of MMA?
Yeah, huge UFC card. Yep.
We got a really good
UFC pay-per-view card, which we'll be watching on the UFC deck over there.
How'd you guys do, Jubb? I heard you yelling and screaming.
I did all right. I did all right to start, and then things kind of went downhill, and then,
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, it was early in the day. It's better when those things are at night because I was in France.
Yeah, and I was running around.
You were busy. You're a busy man. So, but anyway, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about Luke's favorite division, the AFC North. You're watching Better's Last Stand.
This show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activity should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-GAMBLER. 206-2537.
Joined by our man from Generations, Luke DePlaga. He's going to give us his weekly parlay. Luke, tough one last week. You were at the game where your Buckeyes couldn't quite get the cover. You had the Mountaineers. They came through for you, plus the 7.5. So that was a good one. I believe you were at both games when we talked to you last week. So how were the games, and what were your thoughts about your Buckeyes not being able to cover there?
Atmospheres were great. The WU fans, they're just wild. But I tell you what, there definitely wasn't more WU fans than Pitt. It was probably 60-40 Pitt.
Wow.
Honestly. Ohio State, though, there's nothing better than that place. I mean, just where dynasties begin and they'll just never win. we don't climb mountains in Columbus, you know. We just win championships.
Right.
But other than that, I had a hell of a time. I mean, Saturday night I was hanging out with Deuce McBride, who plays for the New York Knicks.
Oh, nice.
That was pretty awesome. I hung out with him literally all night and tailgated with him before the game.
Wow.
But other than that, can't complain.
What game had better tailgating?
Better tailgating? I mean,
they were probably two different atmospheres, right? I'm sure the Pitt West Virginia is just nuts and.
It is complete different atmospheres. I mean, WVU, I would compare a WVU game at a Pitt rivalry. It's more of just like how drunk can you get. But at a Ohio State tailgate is more of on a regular tailgate when I'm up there, just the regular crew. It's more of like talking about the game. We don't get too drunk.
Focus.
Like, sophisticated.
See, you're focused because your team actually wins something important, unlike the Mountaineers and Pitt, who don't really ever win anything.
Ohio State's a black tie party. West Virginia is a keg party at a frat house.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. I had a good time in Columbus this weekend because I met up with those guys at a frat house before the game. But other than that, I never really drink like that much at Ohio State games. But when I'm in Morgantown, I know I'm going to get drunk and just hopefully not make it into the game.
Well, hey, we're glad you made it back safe, and we're ready to go. Hey, before we go into that, what's going on at Generations? You got your beer bucket specials again. Anything else going on?
Same with the buckets of beer and then wings and pierogies.
Wings and pierogies. Okay.
We run those all football season.
Awesome.
And we got about. And going in, I know we're doing college football parlay, but going in this Sunday, we'll have 10 TVs. You know, there's nine 1 o'clock games, so we'll have every NFL game.
Great.
We've got our whiteboard that splits up into four TVs, so we have 10 available games at all times.
That's great. That's great to know. Because we're always looking for places around the valley to be able to watch the Sunday ticket. So be sure you folks check out Generations. Luke will be ready for you down there on Sunday. And then you guys will have the game on Thursday night, the Bills and Rams, I'm sure. And then a few college games that night as well. So, yeah, that's great stuff. All right, so where are we going this week with your parlay? You going back to your Buckeyes or Mountaineers, or are you going two different spots here?
We're going to go a little West Coast action. We'll start off with USC -9.5 for Stanford.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. USC looked good last week. Was that your thoughts on them?
They look good. They look good, but it's the Pac-12. I don't know if they'll be able to compete at the end of the season with the big dogs.
Right, right. Okay, what's the second leg?
Oh, it's risky. It's risky, but can Quinn Ewers really show up this week versus Alabama? In cover,
oh my.
+20.5.
Oh my.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'll say that's a bold one there.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
Hey. I like it.
All right. I like it too.
I like taking risk.
That's a definite risk, man.
That'll be a raucous crowd. They'll be going nuts in Texas. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's not a bad play, though, Luke, because everybody – Matt, you've probably seen a lot of action on Bama, right?
Yeah, that's everybody's on Bama. They want to get that before it goes to 3 touchdowns. So, yeah. Definitely more Bama than Texas. But, hey, Texas, they'll be up for the game, definitely. So you never know what's going to happen. Should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm going to have my horns ready. Hook them all weekend.
All right, so you want a dog and a favorite again this week, just like last week. So let's hope you go 2-0 and get these people, make these people some money, because a lot of people told me after they heard your parlay, they ran to the window. Matt saw a lot of action.
Yeah, I want the Generations parlay. I had to teach my people, tell them what it was.
Yeah, so
they even need to know the teams.
The people listening to Better's Last Stand, when this comes out, they're going to be rushing. Matt will have to be ready. They may have to move the line a little bit.
Yeah, geez, we're going to have to bump that Texas down a little bit.
All right, so give us a replay that again for us so everybody knows. Shoot us the two winners this week.
USC -9.5 and Texas +20.5.
All right. Nice. Wonderful. Hey, do you have any you got any opinions in the NFL games? Raiders?
Week one's tough. I mean, I don't know what to think about the Raiders going into LA week one.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry game. Just depends. The home field advantage probably will still lean the Raiders way in LA.
Yes, definitely.
If Derek Carr can get the ball to Adams, I mean, I just don't see how you can stop us, but who knows with the Raiders. Well, I got to see a couple weeks before I get a real opinion on them.
Yeah, I understand that. Jubb's got his Raiders shirt on, so hopefully it'll bring you guys good luck. But,
just win, baby. That's all.
Just
that's
win, all like Al Davis says. Yep. So, Luke, thanks again for joining us. We love doing this with you. And remember, folks, get down there to your book, get on your apps, put in this parlay, the Generations Parlay of the Week, USC -9.5. Texas +20.5. Be sure and check Luke out down at Generations this weekend for all your refreshments and food as you watch football Thursday through Sunday this week. Actually, Monday, too. So should be a fun time for those guys. Luke, thanks again for joining us. Are you going to any football games this weekend?
No, taking the week off.
There you go. Smart move.
You're going to be out of Generations most of the weekend?
Yeah, I'll be here in the morning Saturday. And I'll be here all day Sunday.
We may end up seeing you Sunday for a little bit.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Let's crush some Pine Room burgers.
Yeah, let's go. All right, Luke, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, good luck. All right, welcome back in to Bettors Last Stand, Episode 8. We're going to talk some AFC North. This is a division near and dear to Luke's heart and kind of mine, too. I was always used to be a Browns fan, and then the Browns moved away. So they went to Baltimore, and then I started to like the Ravens because they got good guys from Miami, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. So kind of partial to both teams still. I like both teams a lot. Should be a really competitive division. You got the Bengals trying to repeat from last year's Super Bowl run. You got the Steelers starting the new era of quarterback play. Might be a game or two. Might have Trubisky in there. But the Ravens bounce back maybe with some with a healthier roster, and then the Browns with the Deshaun Watson saga. So tons of stuff, storylines in this division. There's a lot of intrigue here. I think we have some pretty strong opinions, and the first team we're going to talk about is the Baltimore Ravens. Win total on the Ravens is 9.5. The Ravens are +140 right now to win the AFC North. Them and the Bengals have been kind of co-favorites throughout the summer months, taking – as the Browns got more and more, uncertainty around Deshaun Watson, those two teams started to drift up to +130, +140 range. I think the Bengals are 170 now or so. Anyway, AFC odds for the Ravens, 9-1 and 20-1 in the Super Bowl. I'm a little biased here. I think the Ravens will be pretty good this year. Lamar Jackson comes back. Their defense gets healthy. Their running game is very good. They got good tight ends. They got a good defense. They're well coached. I like their win total over. I think they win at least 11 games. Luke, thoughts on? I know you're a Raven hater, but do you think that they'll be improved with the if the roster remains healthy?
Yeah, I'm actually not really a Raven hater. Okay. I'm a Steelers fan, but I'm not like a diehard. But
gotcha.
I think it'll be either 9 or 10 wins. Just that receiving core,
you're right.
It's really bad. But Mark Andrews, obviously, probably one of the best tight ends, and then obviously a really good defense. And they, in my opinion, they had the best draft out of the draft class. Got a really good center and a really good future safety. So, yeah, I really like their draft class.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton, your beloved Irishman. My friend of mine who works for me over at the Sportsbook, actually, he's a flight attendant as well, and she met Kyle on a plane. So he was a fantastic young man. So we'll be pulling for him. You're right, the addition of the Linderbaum guy at center from Iowa is a big upgrade.
Yeah.
Receiving core, definitely, Rashad Bateman. He's going to be very good, but, you know, there's not a lot there of proven guys. So definitely a major concern. Devin Duvernay, I never really considered him to be a starting receiver. I thought he was more of a return guy, but he's going to have to step up a little bit. So,
hey, Coach and Luke, I know Matt will know this. Do you know why they're called the Baltimore Ravens?
Was Edgar Allan Poe from Baltimore?
Bang.
True. Oh. Yes. Famous author of The Raven. Oh.
Speaking of Poe, did you see their mascot? Poe got injured at the game line.
He tore his ACL.
Yeah, tore his ACL. Yeah,
oh, really?
So, yeah, Poe the mascot went down for the Ravens in the preseason. So best wishes to Poe. Get better soon. Coach, your thoughts on the Ravens?
I mean, you know, both the running backs were hurt last year. They're both back and right now healthy. If they stay healthy, that is going to be huge. I still like Lamar Jackson. I think he's really, really good. I obviously got the best kicker in the league. He's the best, right. And arguably the best tight end. So I tell you what I do like. I like them -7 against going to the Jets and on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a very, very popular play. You're gonna see them.
That scares me.
You're gonna see them get a lot of play in the survivor pools. For those of you who play the survivor, where you don't cover in a spread, you're just doing a team to win each week. They will be the 49ers. Can't remember. There's one other game that's pretty lopsided, but they're going to be
Colts over the Texans.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, so those are going to be your popular ones. I agree. It seems too easy, but
that's what scares
me. One thing
me.
About Jim or John Harbaugh, he does a pretty good job when they're favoring in games. They usually take care of business. They don't mess around a whole lot. The bad teams, they flex their muscles, although last year they did struggle with that. But when you were down, your running backs, like Coach mentioned, in your two all-pro corners, I mean, that's quite a loss. It was ugly for them at times last year. So, anyway, I think we're all pretty under the opinion that the Ravens will be improved this year if they stay healthy. It's hard to really think otherwise. I think they'll definitely be in contention to win the division. I'm not saying they will, but I think they're definitely a playoff team if all goes well. And should be interesting as the rivalries continue to grow in that league. I mean, that's a tough schedule with those. You got to play the Steelers, Bengals, and Browns twice. I mean, that's never easy for any of these teams. But
An interesting stat about the Ravens, which I'm doing some homework on them. They've only won one playoff game over the last 7 years. I didn't realize that. One playoff when they had won 10 playoff games in Harbaugh's first 7 years.
Yeah.
And have only won one playoff game in the last 7 years. That's amazing to me that the quality of team and have only won one playoff game in 7 years. So,
yeah, they had that year. They got the bye. They were number one seed. Yeah. And Titans got them, and couldn't stop Derrick Henry. Had some bad drop passes in that game. It was an ugly one.
But I do like them over their win total, too, over 9.5. I'm going to definitely play that.
Agreed. All right, moving on to the Bengals, everybody's darling from last year. This probably won't be a popular opinion for most people. The Bengals are getting tons of love nationally, across the country, from bettors, from media personalities. People love this team. They think they're legitimately a Super Bowl contender again. I couldn't disagree more. I think this team, I would take a shot at betting this team at a big price to have the fewest wins in the NFL. I could see it happening. I don't like this team at all. I think they got very fortunate last year to win a lot of games. They got a lot of lucky breaks. I think their schedule was very difficult this year. I think Burrow's banged up. I know they made a lot of upgrades, but I'm not sold on them. I was a skeptic last year. And, again, I may be biased, but I definitely like them under their win total of 10. Right now they're posted at the 10 win total with a +170 to win the AFC North, 11-1 to win the AFC, and 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'm anti-Bengals, Coach. What say you?
I'm not as anti-Bengals as you are. I think they've got a lot of weapons. If they can keep Burrow healthy, which is a big question mark, I know you guys don't like him.
Yeah,
but I like him, and
he's good.
I think they're going to be better than the people. You guys are giving him
probably just
for
us,
just us. Yeah, I'm not sold on over 10 wins, but I think they're going to be better than what you guys say.
I think my thoughts on the Bengals to clarify. Like I do think Burrow's good. I think he's getting labeled as being one of the best of all time already,
and that
is bizarre to me so quickly. I would say I would want to take wait and see, because if he is able to take them and they make a run like they did last year, then maybe he will be an all-time great, and I'd have to reconsider my thought. But I thought they got very lucky in a lot of games last year. They did upgrade their offensive line a bunch, as you talked about, Coach. That was their weakness last year. If you remember that game against the Titans in the playoffs with all the sacks, and they still won the game somehow. Definite weapons on offense, good receivers. I think people, though, the NFL, you know how it is. A guy has a good year. It's can he continue to do it? Because a lot of guys have good one-year seasons. I'm anxious to see what Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase do. I think teams will start figuring them out a little bit. Luke, let me get your thoughts on the Bengals.
Honestly, they're probably my least favorite team in this division now. I'm not a huge fan of Joe Burrow. I think Joe Mixon is very overrated. I think the person that they're going crazy over is Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he had one good year, and he also has two other good receivers that help him get all those targets and all that. I think the big loss for this team was C.J. Uzomah. He was a big help in the passing game, just short yardage when Burrow needed that third and five, third and six. He was always there. But I'm not high on the Bengals. I like the under and the on them. That defense scares me. They don't have a lot of depth. They have a good defense from the starting 11, but they don't have a lot of depth, which worries me. So injuries could hurt them. And yeah, I'm not high on the Bengals at all.
Yeah, you guys are heavy on that first game. You guys love the Steelers, right?
When we were going to give our best bets, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I absolutely love the Steelers getting to 6.5 right now. So jump on that if you can get that 6.5. Be really key number. I would expect that number to stay, though. It may go to 7. The Bengals right now are taking a lot of interest from people, but I think you'll see professionals jump on the Steelers if you get that to 7. I think that game intrigues me a lot. I think the Steelers are obviously not going to be quite as good, but maybe they're going to be better. I don't know. Roethlisberger struggled for them, so we'll talk about them here in a couple minutes. But just the Bengals, some of the games they won last year I thought were just – very fortunate. I mean, they lost to the Jets and the Bears. I mean, I don't know. They're just – they scare me. I don't really dislike the team. I just don't – from a betting standpoint, not a fan at all, and I'm not a Burrow fan by any means. But, all right, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns, Chris's team. The Brownies just finally got the quarterback situation ironed out. At least they know how many games Deshaun will be out for. So that helps them a little bit. They'll have Jacoby Brissett in there to open the season. I think they got some breaks with their schedule early on, guys. They start out with Carolina and the Jets. That's got to help a little bit.
Well, that first game's going to be interesting, right?
Yes, Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
Baker was talking crap on the on the Browns. He said he's just going to come and kick the Browns' ass. I'm not sure about that because Myles Garrett might.
Yes.
Donk his helmet off.
I think the Browns have the best roster in this division. Obviously, when they have Deshaun Watson, makes him a major contender for the playoffs in the AFC. 8.5 wins, the posted win total for them right now. Plus 380 to win the North, 22-1 to win the AFC, and 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. As I said, I think this team has a really good roster. The quarterback play is going to be – it's going to depend on how many plays Jacoby Brissett can make in some of these games. But I think they get – I think they could start 3-1. Luke, what say you? They got Carolina, the Jets, the Steelers, and then at Atlanta.
One of my best plays of the week is Carolina money line. I think they'll beat the Browns.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sold. This defense has a lot of good names, but they've never had chemistry. It's just the defense is a mess every year. I like Nick Chubb. He's one of the good guys of the league, but right. I like the under a lot for the Browns. That's just Deshaun missing 11 weeks. Just way too much.
That's a lot to overcome, and if Brissett can't make plays – I don't know. Coach, what are you thinking on the win total?
I like that under, too, Luke. I'm with you there. I think there's a lot of question marks with the Browns. They're still not in that mindset to where they can win the big game, win the tough game, win the game that things don't go well. I like them under that, Luke. I'm with you.
So you guys both, Luke, you said you're on Carolina. Will you be leaning Carolina in week one, too, Coach?
Maybe a little bit, but I not much of a feel on that game at all.
I don't know. I was wondering about that too. I thought maybe under was a decent play. Just with the uncertainty of the quarterback position of both teams. I don't know. Mayfield's a guy that plays better when he's motivated, when he has the chip on his shoulder. He always has been that kind of a guy. So I don't know.
Think he'll grab his nuts?
Why did he say he's going to?
Remember against Kansas, he grabbed his nuts when they wouldn't
shake
his hands.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a child for me. I'm glad he's not in Cleveland anymore, to be honest. But I don't know. There's worse players than him. So Carolina's a team, too, that we talked about several weeks ago. But they got a lot to prove this year, too, and I'm really not sure how good they are. But we'll find out. Should be a good one week one. On to Luke Steelers. They right now, in the transition period, Kenny Pickett comes in. They got Mitch Trubisky. Lots to talk about them with the Steelers as far as the quarterback position. Win total posted at 7.5 right now. 10-1 to win the North, 50-1 to win the AFC, and 90-1 to win the Super Bowl. I find it, guys, when I listen to more local radio within the Pittsburgh or this market, people complain about Tomlin. They complain about the team that they were not very good. But the outside media. For the exception of a couple of people, maybe like Colin Cowherd or somebody, but a lot of the outside media love this team and think that they're really good. I don't know how good their defense actually is. I think they got a couple of great players on it, but I don't know. I think this team, it's one of those ones I could see him winning in 9 or 10 games, and I could see him winning 5. I would tend to think they're win maybe 6 or 7, but I do love them against the Bengals. Luke, what are you thinking? This is your team.
I like them over a lot, actually. Okay. I think George Pickens, he's gonna be a stud, and I don't know about Kenny Pickett. I don't want him in that early. I trust Mitch. I think Mitch can get the work done. I think he got a bad rep in Chicago. Just not enough weapons.
He took him to the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, this defense, adding Miles Jack, I think, was the huge key to that. And right. They also got that Ogunjobi from, I think he was from the Bengals. They were one of the worst rushing defenses in the league last year. So getting like some depth up front.
Miles Jack definitely helping because Devin Bush never been right. He's horrible. Been hurt. Yeah. He's been awful there. They're considering cutting him, I heard. So, Coach, what are you thinking on the Steelheads?
I like him under the win total, Luke. I'm going to go against you there. The quarterback situation has a lot of question marks, obviously. But I just don't see them winning over 7.5 games, winning over 7 games, even though they do have, you know, defensively the best, arguably the best player in the game. Cam Hayward's
really good.
You know, really good.
Yeah, they got him and Minka and then Watt. I mean, that's three really great players.
Very good. And their kicking game is, you know, they got a really good kicker. I don't know. I just don't like them over the 7. I can see them winning 7 games, exactly.
And Tomlin always, you hear, the Tomlin lovers will tell you he never loses, he's never had a losing season, blah, 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 blah. But he also hasn't won a playoff game since when? 2015 or something?
Yeah, I think that's when
it was. Just sad to see that for them. I don't know, Luke, what do you think about that? Do you think he's been a disappointment in the playoffs as far as getting wins in big games, or?
Well, the thing is, he'll never leave. That's the thing. The Steelers they hire a coach. He's there forever. But
exactly.
I don't know. He's hard to read sometimes. I like his energy. I think he brings good energy to the team, and he relates to the players really well. I think he's a player's coach. I do believe players like him a lot.
Right.
But sometimes he does in those big games, just doesn't come out and get the job done. And I think it's mainly, honestly, the DC and the OC. I feel like we always have a horrible offense coordinator and defense coordinator.
I think the biggest thing that I will criticize him about is he let Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell kind of ruin that franchise.
Yes. Yeah.
When
yes.
they just ran rampant around. They did whatever they wanted. They acted like fools. And you know, I think he lost a lot of credibility with that.
I agree.
And they lost those games. I mean, playoff game when Lev Bell was late for the walkthrough against the Jaguars. And they got their ass kicked. I don't know.
And you've seen Claypool act like an idiot
Hopefully Pickens stays in line. He's
and you know that never ever when the Steelers were good, you never saw any of that kind of stuff with the Steelers.
They had guys that policed their own locker room.
Yes.
I mean, Troy Polamalu. I mean, guys that are Hall of Fame quality players that led by example, didn't act like fools. So
yeah, did Claypool surprise you, Luke, with the way he came out of Notre Dame and then started to act with the Steelers?
Yeah, he never talked to Notre Dame.
That's
he was
what
kind
I'm
of,
saying.
He was really good at for us. I mean, he was
very good player.
I do believe people don't agree with me this. I believe he's one of the best deep ball catchers in the league.
Oh, I'm not going to argue that.
I wouldn't argue that
because,
at all.
Because, I mean, every time I see him get a deep ball, he's catching it, but they never throw it, a deep ball to him. But he is an idiot at times. But I don't know. I think it all started with Juju.
Yeah.
And
AB.
I
mean, absolutely.
Yeah, there's another one there, Juju.
And George Pickens, like one of my friends said, he could either be in prison week one or he could be an all-pro by week 6.
I thought Claypool, when he was in college, I used to tell Chris, I was like, man, this dude is going to be unbelievable in the NFL. I thought he went up and got the ball at the highest point better than any receiver that I had seen in college football since Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
So I thought he was great. He's just too immature. It's a shame.
Yes.
Guy's
a
Pro Bowl talent. We'll see if he picks it up this year. And I agree, Pickens could be very good for them. But
so to go back here, Luke, give me top to bottom, 1 through 4 in that division. How does it after week 17 or week 18, right? They play 7. Okay,
games.
Luke, give me 1 through 4. How's it going to end?
Ravens 1, Steelers 2, Bengals 3, Browns 4.
Ooh. Matt?
Ravens 1, Browns 2, Steelers 3, Bengals 4.
Oh, okay. And I'm going to go chalk other than Cincy. I'm flipping in Baltimore and Cincinnati. I'm saying Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers.
Okay.
That's my 4.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of intrigue in this division. I tell you what,
I think Najee's a good bet for the rushing leader as well. I had Derrick Henry in that, but I think Najee's a good second bet.
Is he all right? Is his foot okay or whatever?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, he's
that
all
Liz
good.
Frank stuff
as long
is
as they don't wear
nasty.
Him out like Ben did. Jesus, if Ben wasn't giving him a hand in him while he was throwing a swing pass for 5 yards.
Luke, are you concerned about their offensive line? That seems to be the major concern from all the media in Pittsburgh. I
some
mean,
of these
talking
guys.
that it's historically horrible, like 32nd in the league bad.
Yeah, some of these guys are just bad, like that Kendrick Green. I was watching some like Twitter film on him, and he's just really bad.
Yeah, they were calling him. They were calling one of the Dan Moore Jr. They were calling him a turnstile after the preseason games. So
yeah,
that's not good.
No.
But Trubisky is elusive. He can make plays on the run. So
yes.
I don't know. I would never count the Steelers out. They're always scrappy enough to hang in these games. And I don't know. We got a lot to talk about.
So early on, way long way, long time from now, who's in the Super Bowl, Luke?
Give me the Bills.
I agree with that.
And
I'm on that. Definitely.
NFC. Give me the Eagles.
Oh wow, that's a stretch there. The Eagles. Okay.
They added that corner from the Chancey Gardner or something like that.
Eagles are getting a lot of. Yeah.
And they did, and they their receiving corps probably as good as any in the.
Yes,
they
got some weapons now.
So
they're
yeah,
good.
I'm with you on the Bills. I mean, can the Buccaneers get back there? Can they get back?
Giselle factor with Brady. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I heard somebody here talking that they think Brady's like going off the deep end or something. Like
yeah, I heard a lot of people making a case about
he's
that.
He's going goofy. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we all know women can make you do crazy things. So yeah. You never know what can happen. Supermodel wife. She doesn't need his money, that's for sure.
What are you saying from the AFC, Matt?
Okay, so here's my AFC championship game is going to be the Ravens and the Bills. And then my NFC championship game is going to be the 49ers and the Packers. And I'm going to say that the Packers, and sadly, I'm going to have to say that the Ravens won't quite be able to beat the Bills. So I got Packers and Bills.
Okay.
I bet Champ has experienced that Brady thing a lot.
And then, Luke, who's your sleeper of the year? Sleeper team that you think could...
The Lions.
Okay. All right.
And
I'm gonna do this just for say. I'm going to say that... Job's shaking his head. I'm going to do this for say. I'm going to say the Jags are going to be the surprise team of the year.
Wow. So I like it.
It'll never work.
My surprise team may be, and it's really not that big of a surprise, but it would not surprise me if the Chargers made a run into the AFC Championship.
And I was just going to say, and I told you this last night or here, Matt, that I bet a future bet on the Chargers to be the highest scoring team in the NFL this year.
I like them a lot.
Higher than the Bills, higher than the Bucs. Yes.
I don't usually like to say things like this because I think it's absurd and people do it way, way too much. And I'm not saying that I'm doing this. But Justin Herbert, I'm anxious to see what he'll do this year because he, to me, was as good as any rookie quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not saying he's going to be an all-time great, but he very well could be. I'm intrigued by what he'll do this year.
You may look at him in your fantasy tonight, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
Fantasy. It's hard to believe it's here already. Guys, first week, any games stick out? Just going through, I think we all kind of like the Bills against the Rams. Luke, are you on the Bills on Thursday night?
For sure. Go
get
Bills.
Get that 2.5 and get the Bills. Rams got a lot of issues right now. Injuries, coming off the Super Bowl. It's tough to get focused back in right away in week one, don't you guys think? I think the Bills will come out pissed off.
And Matt Stafford over interceptions.
Right. And he's struggling with an elbow problem. Yeah. I tell you, I think I had him in Hurts. There'd be two guys that I think could lead the league in interceptions.
Yes.
I think, you know what, Hurts, I just think he's going to throw a lot. So I thought his total was low, too. Yeah, I think it was like 10.5.
I used to be a big Stafford fan, but I can't stand him now.
Yeah, I like him as a guy. I think he's an all right dude. But, the Rams just, for whatever reason, they kind of annoy me. And any other games? I think that a lot of people are loving the Lions, Luke. Do you think the Eagles-Lions game, think that'll be good, or do the Eagles take care of business?
What's that line?
4. Eagles minus 4 right now.
The Eagles, the thing with the Eagles is they added so many people over the offseason and have no chemistry.
Right.
And the Lions, I mean, they haven't really added much, but I like the Lions. I believe in the coach. I like the head coach. He's an energy guy.
Do you watch that Hard Knocks show with them on there, that HBO?
I used to be a huge Hard Knocks fan. I don't watch it as much.
It's gotten
anymore.
Bad, hasn't it? I don't think it's been as good.
I don't know. Who started it off? It was Maybe in the Browns.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Mayfield. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Coach, what sticks out week one to you?
As I said before, I like the Ravens. It's a little – seems a little easy, minus seven right. against the Jets. I'm going to play that. And then I'm looking – I just can't – I just think the Bears are going to be
horrible.
So bad.
I was looking right at
they're
Dixon.
So bad.
I just think they're going to be so bad. I could see San Francisco going in there and winning by two touchdowns. Right. They're going to be so bad.
I agree. My thoughts on that game were the same as you. The only thing that worries me about is the San Francisco quarterback.
Yeah.
I do think, as far as preparation goes, I think they'll be ready. I would also take a look in that game. If you can get a Bears team total in points, like 17.5 or something, I'll be hammering that under. Take a look at that to see if you can find it. But the Bears team total, I do not think they'll score more than maybe 13 or 10 in that game. 49ers got a very good defense, a great running game. What about Patriots-Dolphins? That's a
Patriots
crazy matchup, you think?
Yeah,
they struggle down there in Miami in the heat sometimes.
It's just week one. Bill Belichick will have something drawn up.
Okay,
to just
you think
stop.
He'll confuse Tua?
Yeah,
badly.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, I can see that. How about the Saints at the Falcons? Saints roll them.
I'm not high on the Saints. I mean,
right.
I'm not high on Jameis. I mean, he has the potential to be really good, but I don't think he's smart enough.
Yeah, that works against them a lot. I have always seemed to burn money with the Giants. I bet those bastards all the time getting points and they never cover. So that game, I'm not high on the Titans, but I'll sit here a week from now here on Better's Last Stand, episode 9, telling you how I got sucked in again and bet the Giants plus 6.5 or 5.5 at the Titans. That Charger Raider game seemed like it should be a great game. That could be a shootout, maybe an over in that one.
Yeah, that's 52. Yeah, I think that's a good play. I like that play.
And then, what do you make of the Sunday night game? Tampa at Dallas. I mean, that's
– Dallas is a mess.
They are. I mean, I would never – I can't bet Dallas because of Mike McCarthy. He's just such a bad coach. But I don't think Todd Bowles is a very good coach either. I don't know. But the Brady factor, if Brady's dialed in and he's serious and he's ready, I think they'll win. But that game's got a lot of
– 1.5. That totals early.
Yeah.
Your line's 1.5.
Oh, I love the Buccaneers.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I mean, it's hard to go against them.
The Cowboys receivers are just, other than CeeDee Lamb, it's bad.
Right. No, I love Lamb to get it all over all his props, yardage, win or touchdowns, all that stuff. Jubb, now the moment of truth. Who do you like this week, or who are your Super Bowl picks? Anybody come to mind?
You had to wake him up.
Yeah, I was watching a horse race behind you. What was the question?
Well, either do you have a team you like this week? Probably not. You don't know who plays, but who are your Super Bowl picks? I think everybody out there are probably getting ready to run to the window to bet.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to pick two of the same teams in the same division, so I don't really know.
Oh, okay.
I want to say I'm going to put the Raiders up there just because
okay.
I got no.
That's got a realistic.
Give me somebody to root for.
Right.
And then. What division are they in?
Well, they're in the AFC, but they're in the AFC West, so they would be
Well, so if you're talking Super Bowl, then you got to go to NFC, like the Cowboys, Vikings.
I was gonna pick them back when you
Vikings.
Guys were talking.
You were
doing
the
Vikings.
The skull.
I was gonna pick them way back when you were talking about those guys.
There you go. Raiders Vikings.
Raiders Vikings.
I like
never
it.
Gonna happen.
That's not impossible. It's really not. It's really
you should go to over to Matt's place and put like $5, $10 on that to be.
I love to
what
get
would
that.
The odds be? On that?
They'll be pretty good. I'll have to look it up, but that is not an impossible bet. It really isn't. It may be a little unlikely.
If that happens, Job, Jesus.
Then it's going to be you doing the show, not us.
Raiders Vikings.
Yeah. All right.
Good call.
You heard it there. So
you
heard it. Anyway. Great first week of college football behind us. We're on to week two. We're on to week one of the NFL. We got tons going on here with the Pine Room. We got our show of hands thing coming up here in a few weeks. Check all the information out of that. We'll be in downtown Wheeling at the Artisan Center, Jump. Is that where that is? Yes.
Yeah, and we'll be third going, floor of
Yeah, and I think that's the 28th. So if you're a Pine Room fan, come out, check us out, vote for us. We're trying to get a little bit of extra money here and keep our business going and growing. Tons going on, as I said. We'll be back here in the Pine Room Saturday, weather permitting. We have the regular podcast, hopefully taping tomorrow or Wednesday, be out later in the week. And then we'll be doing our show on WKKX, The Watchdog, next Monday. Again, talking high school, unwrapping all the games from Friday and Saturday around the Ohio Valley. Tons going on, guys. Fun time of year. Baseball starting to pick up. We didn't even mention any baseball. But every night you're seeing these $4 favorites getting beat. How about the Mets losing 2 out of 3 to the Nationals?
Unbelievable.
The Scherzer was minus 420. Yes. He closed that. But anyway, they got rained out today against the Buccos. But they'll be probably monster
favorites
tomorrow.
They'll get healthy. Again,
but it's the best time of year. It's going to start getting dark early. It's going to start cooling down. We're going to have playoff baseball, tons of football, lots of excitement. Thanks for joining us here on Bettors Last Stand, Episode 8. And be sure and keep tabs on all the Pine Room stuff. Contact at thepinerumpodcast.com for the email if you have any questions or observations for us. And then at the Pine Room Podcast on social. Get on the shop, thepinerumshop.com. Get yourself some gear. Support us. We appreciate all the support we've got so far. All the businesses, Generations, River City. Oh, you know what we didn't mention? Luke DePlaga's parlay.
Oh,
yeah. So
that's
Luke,
right.
Luke was 1-1 in his thing. The Irish.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we're gonna have to call Luke.
And he was in attendance. Yeah, we were a little off sequence from last week too. So we'll get Luke's. We'll probably do his parlay. We can do it tomorrow actually on the podcast if we have to. So stay tuned for that. Jubb does the graphics for it. We'll put that on Instagram so you can keep track. It's tough to do on Mondays for Luke to be able to do that anyway because you don't know what the numbers are going to be right away.
Maybe we'll call him later in a week. Well, tomorrow or later in a week.
But we'll just stay tuned for that as we get more in sync with this as our regular routine. We were all messed up because of the rain last week, so we didn't do the show till Wednesday, so that was actually a little bit better.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks again for joining us here on Bettors Last Stand, and we will see you next week in the Pine Room.